3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
And strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for coming along. Oh, we have a lot to get to. A sweep. That's what we'll talk about to start. Felix Day, the broom edition. Those are the best kind, right? Felix Hernandez and the Mariners getting it done yesterday. They sweep aside the Texas Rangers, and they set up a monster four-game series starting tonight. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun that we'll talk about coming up. Scott Weber from LookoutLanding.com is going to be here. He's joined us before in the past. He'll be here once again in a moment. We'll also hear from pitching coach Rick Waits. Shannon Dreyer, a chance to sit down with the Mariners pitching coach and talk about, you look back at the last eight games now, the starting rotation has been excellent for the Mariners. Really, really good. Not just the rotation, the bullpen as well. The pitching has been outstanding, and it was big in Texas, the three-game sweep. So Rick Waits will be along in just a few minutes. But let's dive into it. Last night, both teams throwing up zeros in the first inning, but the Mariners striking first in the second inning. Well, of course, Nelson Cruz, a massive home run.
The pitch on the way, swing and a drive deep to left field, going and going, goodbye baseball. Into the second level, there's three of them here at Globe Life Park, and that was a screaming meme. Nelson Cruz with his 10th home run of the season. That ball got out of here in a hurry.
Yeah, you could say that. 483 feet for Nelson Cruz. That's the longest home run of the year so far in Major League Baseball. It's pretty remarkable when you look at what StatCast is doing. And we'll talk more about StatCast, I think, coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm hoping to have somebody on to talk about a little in depth. But distance, 483 feet. The batted ball speed off the bat, 116 miles per hour. Woo! That's not messing around. That is no joke. That is big fly in a big way. Nelson Cruz, his 10th of the year already. He becomes just the second Mariner to go double-digit homers in the very first month of the season. Only one other player has done it, and he did it twice. Ken Griffey Jr. in 1998, he hit 11 home runs in the first month of the season. In 1997, he swatted 13 home runs in the first month of the season. Technically, I think 98, one of them came at the last day of March. But for our purposes and for statistical purposes, it all counts as April, first month of the season. But besides the point. So 10 home runs for Nelson Cruz, who's now hitting .337, 10 homers and 22 RBIs as he tortured his former team with a two-run blast there. And the Mariners off and rolling, give Felix a two-run lead early on. But then Texas gets a couple back in the bottom of the second. Carlos Peguero, too, a double to deep center, scoring Adrian Beltre. So a couple of former M's trading punches with a former Ranger in Nelson Cruz. So 2-2 after that. But then Felix, who didn't have his best stuff, but, you know, games like this to me is what makes him great. Not having his best stuff, but still getting it done.
The 0-2, swing and a miss, strike three and a changeup. And down goes Kyle Blank, strikeout number two for Felix Hernandez. And he is closing in on Johan Santana's record for the most strikeouts by a Venezuelan pitcher.
Yeah, and setting history, Mariners history, along the way.
And the 1-1. Swing and a ground ball to Brad Miller at short. He's got it. The throw to first in time to get Smolinski. And Felix Hernandez is the all-time leader in Mariner history for innings pitched. Now with 2,093 and a third innings as he moves by Jamie Moyer a club record for Felix Hernandez, and they take that ball out of the ball game. A great souvenir for the King. You are unbelievable.
Incredible. It really is. The leader in innings pitched in Mariners history, and he's in his 20s. And Mike Blowers talked about it before the game, too, and I agree completely. The numbers he could end up with, and it's something I talk about all the time because I love the numbers, and the numbers that he could end up with are just mind-boggling. When it's all said and done, I mean, think about it. He could pitch for another 10 years, and he just keep racking them up in a Mariners uniform. He's going to put everything out of reach.
The strikeout leader. You're all-time by a Venezuelan pitcher. However, there's another stat that Felix is going to get by today. He needs only 4 1/3 innings to become the all-time top pitcher for innings pitched in this organization. 4 1/3 innings, and he'll move by Jamie Moyer. What does that say about this kid's ability, his consistency, and what he takes to the mound every 5 days?
Well, when I hear those numbers, and then I think of his age, I wonder where they're going to be in 10 years from now.
Double.
Yeah, well, you would hope so. I mean, he's been so durable, and he's been so good, and he's just still so young. You know, he's been in the big leagues for 10 years already. It's amazing, and I, you know, I just never cease to amaze at watching him. I think he's off to his best start that I've ever seen, his best April. He has an opportunity to get his fourth win in the month of April. It's pretty special stuff. But when you start thinking about the innings pitched and the strikeouts and all the things that he has done, he's going to own them all, and they're going to sit there for a very long time. Yeah. That's how special he is. This kind of pitcher and this kind of guy, they don't come along very often. And I know, you know, the great thing with all of this is I know that the people in Seattle really appreciate his work and what he does. We see it on every King's court, and Felix feels the same way. But when you think about where he's going to be in another 10 years from now, it's amazing. It's amazing the career he's already had, and he's just starting.
Yeah, I think that puts it perfectly. And how about his April? 4-0 with a 1.82 ERA, a 0.81 whip. He has fanned 36 in the month, and the King is off and rolling. And again, a really impressive start. Starts like this, to me, are the separators between the good and the great. When you don't have your great stuff, when you can find a way to go 6 2/3 on 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk and 4 strikeouts, and a tough park to pitch in, that is really, really impressive. Felix gets the win as the Mariners find a way to get some runs in the 5th inning. And Logan Morrison coming through, a little luck going his way for a guy that hasn't had a lot of luck in the first month of the season.
The 2-0 swing and a ground ball to first, and it skips on by Blanks down the right field line. Ruggiano will score. Cruz rounding third. He'll score. Round to third goes Weeks. He'll be stopped there. And at second goes Logan Morrison as the ball got on by to the left of first baseman Kyle Blanks. And down the right field line, 2 runs are in.
So 2 runs in right there. So the Mariners now 4-2 lead. They got some slick defense along the way, too.
Swing and a ground ball to Cano. Tricky hop, got it at second. Fires to Miller at second one. His relay to first is in time for the double play. Holy smokes, what a pick at second by Robbie Cano. He's got a big smile on his face. The Mariners turned two, and that was a beauty. 4-6-3.
And then Mike Zunino would put the bat on the ball and pick up another insurance run in the 9th inning.
Slow curve, swinging a ground ball to short. Andrews has it over to second one. The relay to first in time for the double play, but on the play, Ricky Weeks will score from third. The Rangers turn two, but the Mariners get a run out of it. And it's now the Mariners 2 and the Rangers nothing.
A nice job by Zunino. Put the bat on the ball there. I think he had a really nice offensive game and one that shouldn't be overlooked. 0-2, but he drew a couple of walks. He hadn't walked twice in a game since the middle of May last year. So good to see Zunino drawing a couple walks, working the count, putting the ball in play when he needed to put the ball in play. And the Mariners tack on another run. And Fernando Rodney coming on for the 4th straight day, something he's not completely a stranger at. Last year, he appeared in 4 straight games at one point. It was June 19th to June 22nd. He was scoreless in all 4 of those. In 2013 with Tampa, he went 4 days in a row. From May 27th to May 30th. He was scoreless in all four of those as well. Now, he threw the ball great the day before yesterday, 11 pitches and just really humming it in with gas. And he didn't have much of a problem again last night as well, closing this one down.
The 2-2 on the way. Peguero swing and a miss. Strike three, and this ball game is over. The Mariners sweep the Texas Rangers. They win it tonight. A final score of 5-4. And for the Mariners, their first sweep here in Texas since April of 2002, 13 years ago.
How sweep it is. 5-2. The Mariners get the victory. So there it is, the arrow flew. Logan Morrison, four hits in the ball game, 4 for 5, drives in two with that double. Cruz, 2 for 4, 2 runs. He drove in a run as well and drew a walk. Zunino, 2 walks. Ruggiano picked up a double. He scored a run, and the Mariners get the win. Felix goes to 4-0. Farquhar, solid out of the pen, an inning and a third. Rodney closes down his 7th save for the M's, and they sweep aside the Texas Rangers. Here was the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, after the ball game.
Yeah, that was, I mean, he hit the ball good. It was a tough play, but we were lucky there. Yeah. You know, we're due for some of that. Yeah.
This qualifies one of the, those clean games that you keep talking about. Do you want your team to play?
Not really. We made a lot of base running mistakes tonight that we got to shore up, but, you know, we're getting there.
Still a lot to like, though, about this series. You don't get a lot of sweeps here.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you sweep, you're extremely happy. I mean, no question about it. But, you know, I've said it before. Anytime, you know, even though you win, there's still mistakes that need to be corrected. And certainly there's some things that we need to work on.
What did you see from your starting pitcher tonight?
Didn't have his best stuff. Not even close. He gutted it out. I mean, he's a competitor. And got us through 6 2/3. He did a nice job.
Yeah, he did. Got him 6 2/3. Fernando Rodney pitching in his 4th day in a row. Here's what he had to say after the ball game.
The guy we talking about before we come here in the series in the plane, we make a plan how we want to play with Texas, because that's the thing, we have to play hard, because sometimes we come to play too easy with this guy, and sometimes we try to come back too late, but in this series, we come to attack early, and we take a lot of success.
That's really interesting that you say that, because I know that Felix, he hadn't won here since 2010. He talked about that last week. So you guys are really thinking about, you wanted these games.
Yeah. This game and this division is very important. And now, you know, we go to Houston, and we want to go on the same approach. I know this guy very hard right now, but we want to keep playing hard, because we can be Houston, we can be Anaheim, and we can beat Texas, too.
Okay, they keep giving you the ball 4 days in a row. How do you know you can go on that 4th day?
I know how I can go, how I'm feeling right now. Good location, my fastball and my changeup. I throw whatever, any count I want, in good location. That's I throw low, I'm feel good today, and bring me to the game, and all they will say.
He trusts you, doesn't he?
He trusts me, and he knows what he got here.
He said the other day he thought you were actually throwing better right now than you were last year.
Yeah, I'm feeling more command right now. I'm feeling more strong like last year. Literally, last year, I don't know, it's different season. Every season is different. But this year, we make very good team. We can go far. So I'm preparing myself to go far away.
Okay, so this sets up a fun 4 games as the Mariners go to Houston, the hottest team in baseball. The Astros 14-7 so far on the season, absolutely rolling. They have won 6 ball games in a row. They're 9-1 in their last 10 ball games, just playing some great baseball. 10-2 on the road, 4-5 at home so far. So the Mariners will travel there. The M's have won 3 ball games in a row. That happens to tie for the 2nd longest winning streak in Major League Baseball right now, tied with Baltimore. So I guess you could say the hottest 2 teams in baseball are going at it the next 4 days. Mariners and Angels tied at 10-11, tied for 2nd place in the West. The A's at 9-13. They lost yesterday, 3-7 in their last 10. And the Rangers now, after getting swept aside, 7-14 on the season. They've lost three in a row, 2-8 in their last 10, and now seven games back of the Houston Astros, just like that. So a four-game series against the first-place Astros, red hot. Here's how it lays out. Now, it's interesting. No Felix Hernandez, so Houston can breathe a sigh of relief. But on the other side of things, no Dallas Keuchel. He pitched last night, so the Mariners can breathe a bit of a sigh of relief, as Keuchel has been outstanding. Picking the American League Pitcher of the Week is not going to be an easy task. Keuchel's right there. Felix, Archer, Sonny Gray. There are a handful of qualified, more than qualified candidates to take that prize home. Keuchel's one of them, though. His ERA has been outstanding. He's been devastating so far. So the Mariners miss him. This is how it shapes up in Houston. James Paxton will go in game one. 5-10 first pitch here. He's going to go against Scott Feldman. Feldman 2-2, a 4.81 ERA.
Who is it? Feldman from across the hall.
I root that he stays in the league for a long, long time simply to include that drop whenever possible. Aroenis Elias will go in game two of the series against the dreaded TBA. And then game three, Taiwan Walker will go to the hill again. Of course he's going to face the Houston Astros because it's been a whole game since he hasn't. 1-2, a 6.86 ERA, but you know the story with Walker. He has gone 12-plus and been absolutely brilliant in his last two starts. That's going to be a tough matchup. Colin McHugh is going to go for Houston, 3-0, a 2.92 ERA. And then finishing up, Jay Happ, 2-1, 2.30 ERA. He's been outstanding. Roberto Hernandez will go for Houston, 1-2, a 3.80 ERA. We'll get to Happ in just a second with Scott Weber. That's going to be day baseball on Sunday. So Thursday through Sunday, 11:10 first pitch Sunday, 4:10 first pitch Saturday, and then 5:10 on Thursday and Friday. This is going to be a fun series, I believe. Two teams playing some good baseball, going head-to-head in the division. The Astros, the leaders, and the Mariners a chance to do some damage in Houston. So hopefully you'll join us. We'll certainly have a lot to talk about starting tomorrow on the podcast. So looking forward to that. Right now, we're going to talk about the sweep. We're going to talk about the series with Houston and some of the other things that's happened in the first month with Scott Weber from LookoutLending.com. All right, we have a special guest with us. He's been here before. We're happy to have him back once again. Scott Weber from LookoutLanding.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at LookoutLanding. Managing editor over there. You know him very well. We've had him on before. And Scott, thanks for coming back. It's your first regular season visit this year, and we're thrilled to have you back. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride here in the first month for the M's, but things, I guess, always feel better after a three-game sweep in Texas, right? That's been a pretty rare occasion. But what's your take here in the first month as we head towards the end of April?
Pretty wild. Up and down, right? I think everyone probably assumed with the inflated expectations and everything that this team was going to get off to a killer start. And, you know, it's baseball. Things don't always go that way. You know, we're a very small percent of the way through the season, and you know, to be almost 500 after 21 games, I guess it's not a total disaster. It's not exactly what we expected, but it's a long season. I think things are starting to normalize, and we're starting to see the kind of baseball that we can expect from this team in the long term.
And speaking of, I mean, a big reason why they're where they are right now is Felix Hernandez. So let's start right there. He has turned in another sensational April. He did it again last night where, you know, to me, it's the mark of a truly great pitcher. We've seen him dominate against the Twins. He goes the distance, shutting the Twins out with just A quality stuff. And against the Rangers, you know, that's the separator. When he didn't have his great stuff, but can still give you a heck of a quality effort pitching into the seventh inning.
Yeah, that's what's so amazing about Felix is that he clearly didn't have the same kind of stuff against the Rangers that he did against the Twins, but you know, my goodness, still going 6 2/3 and limiting the damage in multiple occasions, except for a bizarre Carlos Peguero double. I mean, who would have thought that he'd be the one to tack an earned run on Felix early on? Gosh, he's just phenomenal to watch. So he's at the top of his game. He continues to get better and really, I think a lot of us keep waiting for that moment when, you know, maybe the wheels are going to fall off or we're going to start to see that decline from Felix, but he just gets better and better and better, and he's such a treat to watch.
I'm glad you said that, too, because Rick Waits was talking about the same thing today that you just said, that he can get better, which is just remarkable to think about, and it's hard to even imagine given what he's done in his career already, the numbers he's already racked up, still in his 20s, but the fact that he can get better, it's hard to believe. He's been so good.
Yeah, I think the strange thing about this all is just how young he really is. You know, yeah. Lloyd McClendon last year when Corey Kluber won the Cy Young, he kept repeatedly saying, you know, that kid in Cleveland, he had a real nice year. Corey Kluber and Felix Hernandez are the exact same age. I mean, I think they're within two or three weeks of each other. They are very, very close in age. And, you know, it's just amazing that here we are. This is Felix's 11th major league season. That's incredible. 11th major league season. When you think about all the pitchers that, you know, don't get a chance to break through until late in their careers. I mean, guys like James Paxton. James Paxton is not, he's not young. I think he's 26. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he still feels like he's, you know, just getting started. And Felix has been doing this for so, so long. And he's got a lot of mileage on that arm, but it just doesn't seem to affect him. And he's been through the velocity drop. I think that's what's so incredible to watch about Felix is that, you know, you look at guys like Justin Verlander, and when they start to lose that velocity, it's like, ooh, I don't know if they're going to be able to hold out because they relied on it so heavily. Felix's pure stuff and his secondary stuff is so good that he doesn't need to throw 96, 97 to get guys out. He'll drop into the low 90s, and he'll still dominate because of his ability to locate and keep batters off balance.
And going from a guy in the rotation we expected this from in Felix to another guy where, I don't know, I was optimistic about Jay Happ. I don't think I expected him to pitch like this in the first month in terms of results. And I think you hit on something pretty interesting last night that I was looking at, too, in terms of what he's doing this year compared to last year and previous years in terms of pitch selection.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's throwing his four-seam fastball a lot less this year. It's dropped, I think, about 12-13%. And he's throwing his cutter. It's way up. He's throwing it considerably more this year, which is really interesting. He's throwing it at a higher velocity, too. So there's definitely been some changes, intentional or not. I'm not exactly sure. You know, sometimes we look at this pitch effects data, and it can be a little wonky, and it can be hard to identify. You know, some databases may call one of his pitches a slider, and other people may call it a cut fastball or whatever it may be. But something's definitely a little different this year. And the most notable thing at all is it's just been his remarkable control. I mean, he has really been able to paint the corners and stay away from the middle of the zone. He's not walking guys. And it just looks awesome. You know, he had shown kind of gradual velocity increase into his 30s, which is pretty rare. Normally you see that number turn down as guys get older, and he continued to increase. It's actually a little bit more down this year, but it comes with the trade-off of increased control. And I think the Mariners just have to be thrilled about what they've gotten from him. You know, just this innings-eating control freak so far. I mean, it's only four starts, but, you know, when you consider what the rest of the rotation has done and how disappointing, you know, Hisashi Iwakuma was, obviously the injury probably played a factor in that. And James Paxton has been really up and down, not able to recover from all the unearned stuff. He's really been a huge part of keeping them so close to 500 at this point.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And yeah, you guys have a good story on lookoutlanding.com about how many close games the Mariners have played already this season. It didn't stop again last night, another close one. Are they just going to play three-run games every single day of the rest of the year? Because that's what it's starting to look like.
Yeah, I you know what? And I don't think so. I think the offense is better this year, and I think eventually they'll start to pull away from that. But, you know, in this series, we definitely saw a little bit more of that normalization, you know, two close games in a row. And really tonight, or I guess it'll be yesterday, but when we hear this, if they hadn't gotten that that late run on the pass ball late in the game or wild pitch, however it was scored, it would have been another, I guess you could consider, a close game. So, you know, maybe they will, but this is the normalization. You know, if you look at the Mariners' matchups early on, they were pretty unfortunate in terms of their batting luck and their pitching luck, and we've seen that start to normalize as things do. And, you know, no one wants to associate bad baseball to bad luck, but sometimes that's just the way the ball breaks, and I think the ball is starting to break the Mariners away a little bit more, and it's only a matter of time until they're going to start putting up some of these 8-1 wins and 7-2 wins, and also they're probably going to get blown out a few times too. I mean, it's baseball. you know, these things are going to happen. They're going to have their ups and there's going to be downs, but they're not always going to be this close.
Yeah, speaking of trends, is there anything that you've seen in the first month that hasn't gone the Mariners' way that you think will turn around, will normalize here as we move through the rest of the season?
Yeah, and I think we're already starting to see that. I think the first thing that comes to mind is Logan Morrison at the plate. Morrison just extremely unlucky. You know, we saw him in the first couple weeks of the season really just rope balls all over the field and just have him end up right in guys' gloves. And today he goes 5-for-4 in the game, and you know, he gets a little bit of fortunate breaks here and there, and it's just things starting to kind of balance out. You know, Taiwan Walker was extremely unlucky in his first two starts, and then he started to get some positive breaks as well. The ball always can't break the wrong way. So I think that we're starting to see a little bit of normalization. I think we'll continue to see that, especially from the bullpen and some of these small sample sizes. You know, there are some guys where I think we might have an actual issue with poor performance. I'm not sure that Tyler Rolson is going to, you know, stick around for a long time if he can't get the control down. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think there's any real red flags that we've seen other than a few things. I think you can look at Mike Zunino's strikeouts and some of the control issues that we've seen from, you know, guys like Tyler Olson and maybe James Paxton's inability to recover from mistakes. But, you know, for the most part, I think this is a pretty good looking sub 500 team, if that makes sense. I think a lot of times you could look at a team that's sub 500 and have a lot of fingers to point and say, well, this is how it is and that's how it's going to stay that way. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's the case for the Mariners.
I'm glad you hit on Morrison, too. It's so funny. Baseball's such a funny game with his first double where he scores two runs that was kind of misplayed at first base. But, boy, is that not how the game goes sometimes. As you pointed out, roping the ball all over the place. Can't get anything to land. Even as homer, the fan made a tremendous catch. But there he is. He gets one down the line that finally gets through.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're not – If Mike Trout and Sinsu Chu don't rob two home runs from Logan Morrison, you know, in the first 10 games of the season, he's got a very different looking stat line. Yeah. And there's probably not as much chatter as about him being a disappointment so far. It's just it's so interesting. It's a game of inches. It always has been and it always will be. And while he may never be, you know, kind of this elite first baseman, his line should definitely be closer to what it was a year before.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this series coming up. The Mariners now a game below 500. The Astros are red hot. They've won six ball games in a row. A four-game set between the Mariners and Houston. M's won't see Keuchel. Houston won't see Felix Hernandez. How do you see this series playing out?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a tough one. It's really interesting. You know, the Astros have really been red hot. I mean, you nailed it on the head. Some tough matchups, definitely. I'm very interested to see what we get out of James Paxton or what we see out of James Paxton. He has looked better. His mechanics, he's still flying open a little bit. I think it's more mental than anything else what we've seen out of James Paxton, because he's actually not dissimilar to Logan Morrison. He's generated a lot of ground balls, and he's just had balls kind of squeak through, and there's been some errors. Some of the fielders have let him down. And then when the wheels come off, it's been really hard for him to recover. So I'm very interested to see that matchup first and foremost to get the series going. And then, you know, to see if Taiwan Walker can just carry this momentum into another one. He's got the tough matchup. He's got to go against Colin McHugh. That's going to be a great, great battle. But, you know, hope for a split, maybe better. This is certainly a chance for the Mariners to make up some of that ground that they lost early in the season.
What's your take on the Astros?
I think the Astros are a very young and talented team who is overperforming right now.
Okay.
At the end of the year, I'd be surprised to see them contending for a playoff spot. I've always said that their upside is tremendous. They have great upside all over the place, but it's probably a year too early for them to really make a push. Then again, they're proving everybody wrong right now, but for the same reason that, you know, a lot of us are not that worried about the Mariners starting 10-11, I'm not that worried about the Astros starting, you know, winning six games in a row and being well over 500 at this point. It's still early. Things will normalize. But I think that they're better than a lot of teams give them credit for, and they're certainly not the basement dwellers they once were.
Has there anything happened in the division that has changed your mind about what you were thinking going into the season, if that question makes any sense at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, you know, there's been some things here and there. I think the Angels have underperformed, and you know, while that's certainly still early, it's interesting to watch. You know, Jeff Weaver's velocity continue to just spiral downwards, and CJ Wilson, and to see
you
how
said it, Jeff Weaver there, which I thought was pretty.
Oh,
funny.
Jeff, yeah, that's a is that a Freudian slip?
Yeah, we knew what you meant.
He's just permanently ingrained into my mind. I can't get him off the mic. Excuse me, Jared Weaver.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so the Angels are always going to be good because they have Mike Trout and he makes them a good team, period, no matter how terrible the rest of the team is. So they're always going to be a little bit dangerous because he's just that good of a player. But the thing that really, I think, has taken a lot of wind out of the sails for Texas has just been, one, losing Yu Darvish really, really made the division quite a bit easier.
Yeah.
And it's always terrible news to see a talented pitcher. I love watching Yu Darvish pitch. I think he's... You know, he's an unbelievable pitcher. It's so fun to see his wide arsenal of pitches. But that definitely made Texas a lot weaker. And when you go into a series with them and you know that you're not going to have to see that one guy who is going to be the very, very tough guy to beat in that series, that certainly eases it up for everyone. Now the Astros losing Jed Lurie for an extended period of time is going to be impactful as well. So the Mariners have been fortunate to stay healthy, while the rest of the division has had some problems. But, you know, for the most part, I just don't see the AL West as a whole being that difficult of a division to win this year, which is why it's been a little disappointing to see the Mariners get off to a slow start. I think that there's certainly a missed opportunity there. And this series with Houston is a big one because it's a big time to possibly make up some ground.
You know, I think you hit on something about the division that I've been thinking about as well. In terms of starting pitching, yeah, you still have the aces like Sonny Gray, who I think is just outstanding. You have a couple guys, Keuchel and McHugh, for example, that are really pitching well. And Richards, you know, we'll see. But, you know, it feels like the depth, the aces, it's not as deep that it's been the last few years. I mean, this division has really been tough with some high-end starters, but I don't get that same sense this year.
No, certainly not. It's not as top-heavy as it used to be, and there is good depth. I mean, the A's have a tremendous amount of depth in that rotation, and as they get more healthy, it'll be tough top to bottom, and you add the guys at the back of that rotation, like Drew Pomeranz, guys that have a lot of potential, and that team is always going to be sneaky, and they're going to get production from all kinds of guys, whether you think their careers are dead or not, Scott Kazmir. So they are always tricky, but it's certainly, you're right, it's not as top heavy, and maybe it's because we haven't seen, you know, Garrett Richards kind of be the guy that he was last year. Maybe, you know, he'll be that guy again eventually, or, you know, CJ Wilson has fallen off, and the Astros don't really have that ace. And now that Yu Darvish is out of the mix, it doesn't seem like when you go up in a series against a division opponent, it's going to be that you're going to have to face that stopper, that one guy who is going to make you hope for a series win instead of a sweep. It's just not the same this year.
No, and this series is a perfect example. I mean, how different is it if you get Darvish in the middle game of this three-game series? It changes everything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, instead you get to go up against a guy like Ross Detweiler, who's really, really struggled. I mean, that makes a huge difference. Yeah. It makes a huge difference.
No, Scott, this was fun. It was great to have you on again, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Scott Weber, lookoutlanding.com, great spot. They're on it all the time, at Lookout Landing. Great follow on Twitter as well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Always appreciate the visit with Scott. We'll have him on again coming up. Coming up right now, though, we'll hear from Rick Waits. Here's Shannon Dreyer with the Mariners pitching coach.
Let's just start with Jay Happ. I think a lot of people are calling him the biggest surprise for the team this year.
You know, I don't look at it as a big surprise. I think this is what we expected from him. You know, he's had a few little health issues over the years. In other words, he got hit with a line drive, and that put him out. And little aches and pains over the last 4 or 5 years. And I think that we know we keep him healthy, and this is the kind of guy that goes out there with great fastball command, mature pitcher, and he knows what he's doing.
Okay, I'm not 100% buying that he's not better right now. I know he had a very good second half of last year, and I know that injuries and freak injuries at that have been an issue, but if you could point to one thing that perhaps has improved with him a little bit since the reports that you got or what you were expecting?
From my observation as a pitching coach, I think his long and hard work on his changeup over the winter, starting in January when he started his throwing program, right on through spring training, and it just keeps getting a little better, a little better, a little better. And the main thing is in his mind. He has confidence that he can throw it at any time. So for me, not seeing him pitch a lot in the last few years, but I would say the improvement of his changeup.
Felix out on the hill today. We always love watching that. Somebody asked me this question the other day. Are we seeing him at his best, or is there a possibility that he could be getting better? I know in theory we can always all improve, but how do you look at that?
I think he's always looking to improve. That's what amazes me with him. I remember in spring training him saying, what do you think about this grip for this pitch? I said, well, you got a pretty good one. Well, I don't know. I kind of like this one too. So I think he has the mind for always getting better. When a pitcher has that in his mind, then the answer to the question is yes. I think he can get better, and that's hard to understand at some point. But he's always working to know, you know, pitch selection, pitch location, pitch inside, things that he can change to make him better.
One of the things that got me was after his last start against Texas, two starts ago, I wasn't at that, but I caught up with him afterwards, and I said, why did you fight to stay in there? And A, the team needed a win, but B, it was personal. He said he hadn't had a win against these guys in a couple of years. And that,
well, you know, and that's true. That's exactly true. And you know, I didn't really realize it, that he hadn't had a win since 2012 or something like that, because I was only here last year. And so I guess I should have known that. But you know, he also has pitched so many really good games against Texas where he didn't get a win. So I guess that's sometimes what it might, you know, bypass your thoughts on him pitching good against a club. But, you know, he fights quite often to stay in the ball game, and that's what I like about a starting pitcher.
Without question. Last thing is now that you've got – it looks like guys are kind of falling into place a little bit more. When you've got veterans like Happ and Felix going out and putting up the innings that they're putting, what does that do for your Paxton, for your Walker, for your Elias?
Well, I think for the young guys, if they watch Felix and Happ right now, is that they'll see the incredible fastball command. And that's what we were lacking as a staff in the first 10 days or so of the season. Nobody really had any good fastball command except maybe Happ and Felix. And I think as everybody starts watching that, see how it works, see how important it is, everything works off of that, you're going to see. You've already seen it. You've already seen Elias have better fastball command the other day. Walker's had two good games in a row. So I think any time a veteran can go out there and show the rest of the staff the right way to do it, win or lose, but the right approach, I think it rubs off on everyone.
This year, and the 3-2 pitch to Jesse now, and the slider swung on, and a high fly ball hit into deep left center field. Back goes Griffey. He's back to the wall. Makes the leap, and does he make the catch? He does! My, oh my, another Griffey piece of magic as Ken Griffey Jr. takes a home run away from Jesse Barfield.
See you later!